From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi broke a record this week when she carried out a marathon speech on the floor of the House for more than 8 hours, reading testimonies of Dreamers, young immigrants whose DACA protections are expiring. It was the longest period for which a congressional representative has held the floor of the House, paralleling the Senate filibuster. The speech was an attempt to force Republicans in the House to adopt a spending bill with some form of protections for DACA recipients. A short-term spending bill, which lawmakers passed last month, was set to expire Thursday night. The Senate is expected to vote on Thursday afternoon on a deal that adopts a two-year spending plan, massively boosting spending, especially on the military. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell promised an open debate on immigration legislation on the Senate floor. My guest is Juan Escalante. He is the communications manager with America's Voice and a DACA recipient himself. And he also joins us now as the new immigration correspondent for our program. Welcome to the program, Juan.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So the last time we talked, it was around the a similar issue. The lawmakers have essentially kicked the can down the road twice now. And as this spending bill, the short-term spending bill is expiring, much is going to happen in the next day or two. What do you make of Pelosi's speech, first of all, her gesture, as some are calling it, on Wednesday?
Right. So I think it's important to understand that what the leader, the Democratic leader, Nancy Pelosi, did in the House floor is nothing more than a symbolic gesture to hold the floor, which is a privilege granted to the minority leader as long as she possibly could. And what we saw from her speech and, you know, obviously from the Democratic caucus is that the fervent commitment to continue to highlight this issue as much as possible. That means that by highlighting the stories of Dreamers and pleading to the Speaker of the House to bring an issue forward, something that the Senate Majority Leader, so the counterparts of the House, has already promised to do, tells me and the immigrant community that the Democratic Party is still holding out hope that some deal can be reached on this issue before March 5th, and they're willing to use every tactic at their disposal in order to make sure that they are able to be successful and deliver for the Dreamers that they pledged to defend.
And remind us what the March 5th deadline is.
So the March 5th deadline is essentially an arbitrary deadline, or as I like to refer to it, as a black hole that has been carved out on the calendar by Donald Trump as of September of last year. Folks may remember that on September 5th of 2017, the president terminated a program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, that protects immigrants or certain category of immigrants who came here as young children, fulfill a variety of requirements, and are able to obtain a driver's license, a work permit, a social security number, and a two-year deferral from deportation. On March 5th, that is a deadline that was set up by the president, so he gave 6 months to Congress to fix this issue legislatively and codify the DACA program into law. If the DACA program is not codified into law by Congress, starting on March 5th, people will start losing their DACA protections at an incremented rate. Right now, every day that goes by, people are losing their DACA protections, 122 people per day. Starting on March 6th, you will see that number balloon all the way to 1,200 people a day. And that's a number that's still being discussed, mainly because, and some of your listeners may or may not be familiar with this, there's an injunction right now being placed on the termination of the program through a federal court. A federal judge issued an order saying that the program should still stand and people should still be able to renew their permits just because the intent of the administration was ill-willed. Now, what I tend to tell people is that they have to proceed with some caution about this judge's order, mainly because the Department of Justice, headed by Jeff Sessions, which is also one of the biggest anti-immigrant hawks in Trump's administration, has already asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on this decision, bypassing the circuit court, and we'll see essentially a potential Supreme Court ruling that could essentially terminate the program as we know it and leave people with their work statuses and immigration protections set to expire in 2 to 3 years, or we can essentially see the latter, which is, you know, March 5th comes and goes. People will continue to lose their statuses if they didn't renew on this last batch.
Let's actually take a listen to what Nancy Pelosi had to say on Wednesday morning. She spoke for more than 8 hours, something like 8 hours and 7 minutes. This is not the kind of thing that is often done on the floor of the House. It's usually, you know, the Senate has a filibuster. The House doesn't have its own version, but she attempted to do something like that using the rules of the House to hold the floor for more than 8 hours and reading the story of DACA recipients. Here's just the tail end, the very last bit, the last minute of some of what she had to say on Wednesday morning.
It's a privilege to read the eloquent statement of the Dreamers as they express their love of America, their commitment to a better future for our country and their own family's better future. It was a double honor to do so with the recommendations of the testimony that you all extended, presented, recommended these testimonials, and to have so many of you here in the course of the day, a real tribute to the respect that we have for our Dreamers. So I accept your applause on behalf of them, because it was their story in their words, by and large, that I told. Our basic request is honor the House of Representatives. Give us a chance to have it vote on the floor. The Senate will work its will. We'll see what they produce. And we'll work our will here and see what we produce. But it must be bipartisan, transparent, and unifying.
And that's Nancy Pelosi talking about wanting a bipartisan, transparent, and unifying deal on a spending bill. Now, Juan, as far as you can tell, what exactly is the Senate considering? By the time people hear this interview, that vote may have already happened. But as far as I understand, the two-year spending bill does not have any provision on Dreamers, does it?
It does not. Folks may have seen, as of Wednesday, there have been headlines essentially stating that the Senate has reached a budget agreement in which the result of that agreement is a promise by Senator Mitch McConnell to have a clean debate on an immigration proposal that that can get 60 votes. Now, let me be clear that when I say an immigration proposal, I do not mean essentially a DREAM Act or any sort of bipartisan solution that could address the plight of Dreamers, but rather it could be a DREAM Act, it could be a bipartisan solution, it could be a number of other bills, it could also be the four-pillar bill that Donald Trump is seeking to pass through both chambers of Congress in order to make sure that he slashes legal immigration, gets rid of the diversity lotto visa, protects Dreamers, and also redefines what is known as the nuclear family to end family reunification. So the process in this essentially is quite messy. There's going to be a number of amendments being made into what's being called the shell bill. So essentially, it's a bill that has probably nothing to do with immigration, but rather will be amended to include some riders or some provisions that deal with the issue. And past that, then it's going to be kicked over to the House, where today, Thursday, there's essentially a lot of commotion happening right now. It seems that through some chatters via email and through Twitter, it's rather unclear as to whether or not the House actually has the votes to pass the budget. And that's mainly because the Democratic leader, Nancy Pelosi, and Representative Hoyer are essentially whipping or announcing a whip count, urging their members to vote against any budget deal that does not codify protections for Dreamers into law, thus fulfilling the promise of the Democrats to Dreamers that they will stand and fight tooth and nail for them. And if I just may, you know, we can essentially take a look here and read some of the quotes that have been coming out of the House from House Democratic, the whip notice that has been posted. Quote, unlike the Senate, there is no agreement that the House will even consider legislation Dreamers. By leaving this vital issue unresolved, this package, thus the budget, leaves the Dreamers isolated without a path to resolution in the House. So I'm guessing that as of right now, and this is information that's coming to me today on Thursday, just minutes ago, essentially what the House may be angling to position itself to do is look at Paul Ryan and essentially say, we will not deliver the votes for the budget, thus you know, hurling the government to a potential shutdown unless you put any sort of Dreamer legislation on the floor, which is essentially the same kind of strategy that the Democrats used in the Senate after their failed government shutdown to pressure Mitch McConnell to get into an agreement. And hopefully this would lead the House to also push for some sort of vote in the near future to actually put a bill on the floor, put it up for a vote, thus both chambers can have a chance at passing something and going to conference to hammer out the details before sending it to the president.
Well, if indeed Democrats are going to stand firm, that is very hopeful. I actually want to quote Representative Luis Gutierrez, who's been one of the strongest proponents of immigrants in Congress. And he's a critic of his own party when it comes to immigration. This is what he said on Wednesday after Nancy Pelosi spoke. He said, if Democrats join with Republicans on this deal, what you will have is a collusion with Donald Trump to deport Dreamers. And I hope that does not happen. He added, they talk a great game. They talk about how they're for immigrants. But when it counts and when it matters, they usually put their party before their principles in terms of our immigrant community. That's Representative Luis Gutierrez talking about his own party. And I'm wondering what impact this pressure, is really having on Democrats and whether it is exactly the kind of pressure that's needed. Because often we see liberal organizations and movements get behind Democrats rather than push Democrats hard. In the case of the Dreamers, we're really seeing a different strategy. We're seeing Democrats hold, we're seeing Dreamers hold Democrats' feet to the fire, not Republicans. They're going after their liberal advocates to stay firm. And there have been a lot of protests this week in the Capitol, right?
Correct. There's a massive mobilization happening right now in Washington, D.C., on the part of a variety of organizations like United We Dream and other affiliates, where essentially, once again, Dreamers are shuttled in into the Capitol and asking their members of Congress to come together and actually push for a bipartisan solution that addresses their plight and their needs.
And actually, for our TV audience, we'll play a video of a protest that happened on Capitol Hill, inside the Capitol building by Dreamers this week. Continue on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the main things that people ought to understand is that it's a time factor. We're, you know, we have been arguing this, these bills since December, where essentially there was a potential for a government shutdown. Then we were told by members of Congress that it was going to be pushed into January. Then we were told that it was going to be kicked over into February. And now we're here. We're in February. We're a couple of weeks away from this March 5th deadline that I mentioned a couple minutes ago. And the urgency factor is that people are already losing their work permits. And what we're seeing, right, and I really want to make sure that I put this in here, is that the White House has no sense of respect or priority for Dreamers. Essentially, right now, everything that you've heard from the president in order to fix this issue has been nothing but essentially talking points and other maneuvers to get around the issue and promote his own agenda when it comes to immigration. He's always talked about how he loves the Dreamers, or he wants to protect them, or he wants to give them a bill of quote-unquote love. But just this week, right, and also last week, we've seen recent comments, you know, number one by Donald Trump in the State of the Union saying that Dreamers, that Americans are Dreamers too. A very direct backhand slap to the face to Dreamers, essentially.
He said that during the State of the Union address, Americans are Dreamers too.
Correct. And essentially categorizing Dreamers, you know, DACA recipients as illegal immigrants. Mm. And at the same time, we've seen as of yesterday on Wednesday and Tuesday, comments by Chief of Staff John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, saying that Dreamers are deemed lazy if they didn't actually apply for the DACA program. Another not so subtle punch to the face to hundreds of thousands of Dreamers who work 1 to 2 jobs, go to school, advocate for the Dream Act, and do a multitude of things in order to make sure that the futures in this country are, you know, essentially protected. And when you look at all of these things, right, there's essentially an agreement from the Republican leadership in Congress, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, to the White House, that there's essentially one path forward in their minds, and it's either accept a complete overhaul to the nation's immigration system in exchange for essentially a very small portion of the undocumented community. And when I say a very small portion, you got to understand that Donald Trump talks about 1.8 protecting 1.8 million undocumented immigrants in the Dreamer population. But you have to, you know, people have to look past that number and see that the White House hasn't given any indication as to what the pathway to citizenship for that, for Dreamers, will be under their proposal, which to me reads nothing more as a set of traps that will seek to disqualify as many people as possible so that number never reaches 1.8 million and rather shrinks to the lowest levels possible as they deem forward. And at the same time, we'll see an increased activity. And this was a report that was actually distributed by Pew Research this morning, that deportations continue to climb under Donald Trump, specifically in Florida and in Texas and in other states where there's high populations of immigrants, as ICE, DHS, and other immigration enforcement agencies and bureaus continue to crack down on immigrant communities.
Now, Donald Trump earlier during this week had a roundtable briefing at the White House about the MS-13, which is this gang that he has been able to use, or basically trotted out, to justify any and all actions against all immigrants, illegal, those without documents, DACA recipients, non-DACA, everyone. And he said at this roundtable, "I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this taken care of. We need to strengthen our borders, not by a little bit, but by a lot." It was just incredible for me to hear the president saying he'd love to see a shutdown.
Yeah, well, remember that this is not the first time that he actually calls or summons those terms, saying that the nation should have a really good shutdown and see what really happens. The last time we had a shutdown, it was because Democrats and Republicans in the Senate couldn't come together to agree on a continuous resolution, or a CR for short, and specifically from pressure of Democrats saying that it didn't include Dreamer protections. Now, this shutdown was essentially short-lived. People may remember that it went over a couple of days through the weekend and into Monday, where the government was then reopened. But for the president of the United States to call on this, specifically when his party is in control of both chambers of Congress, is rather problematic and, you know, destructive, not only for his image, but rather for the credibility of his party to actually lead. You remember right now, you know, we're talking about the members of Congress in the House of Representatives, where there's a Republican majority, are unable to whip their own votes to actually keep the lights on and keep the government open through another continuous resolution. That means that they need Democratic votes. And there's no way that the Democrats are going to cave on this kind of stuff unless there's some sort of promise or some sort of leverage that's given back to them, you know, in exchange for their votes, because the Republicans can't get their game straight. So for the president to essentially say that we need a shutdown is only his way of saying we need a shutdown so that I can personally blame the Democrats on shutting down the government again, while if we have a shutdown, it's only because they're unwilling to compromise on a very stagnant set of demands that I've put forward on an immigration bill that's nothing but a bunch of poison pills and in protection for Dreamers, which is what, you know, the American public wants to see. So to me, it's just nothing more than destructive and corrosive language coming from the White House once again.
Let's see what happens with the Democrats. Things may have changed by Friday or Monday. Juan, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Juan Escalante is the communications manager of America's Voice. He's a DACA recipient himself. And as of today, he is the new immigration correspondent for our program. We've been discussing all of the negotiating between parties on a spending bill and the protections for DACA recipients. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.